The Lord showed me that I cannot be like that. Because I'm just like everybody else. Just another fat American. And I'm sorry. I say that because I know there's out people, there's out there ministers out, homosexuals, you know, they want to preach against that. And I know it's big in the news. They, you know, everywhere, every state is turning around and legitimizing homosexual marriage, which is an abomination. The biggest, you know, people say, well, what's wrong? They love each other. I'm like, well, it doesn't matter to me. Ultimately, the only reason is because God said, thou shalt not. That's what makes it sin. Okay. And the gospel would teach you not to do those things because it's about temperance and about pureness and not about lust. And, you know, that's all that's about is, you know, yeah, they love each other. I know that too, but it's like, yeah, well, gee, you know, they're celibate. Oh, well, we guess not, you know, and are you and your wife celibate? No, or not. And sometimes I wish it was even so, you know, someday you get old, you don't care about this stuff anymore. But my point is you could have men who don't love each other get married just so they can adopt a child and molest it. Because there's no requirement in getting married that you love each other. People get marriages of convenience all the time. And the thing is, it's a lot harder to find a woman that would consent with a man to adopt a child for the purpose of abusing it. But if you get two men, it's a lot easier to find men. There's perverse men all over the internet, and they could find each other. Go get married. You know? Maybe they're not even gay. Adopt a little girl. Pretending to be gay. And what about that? Has anyone considered that? It's already happened in Britain with gay men. Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to take it off the gays because it's like, it's not just gays. I mean, two men who are heterosexual could marry each other because they wanted to adopt a little girl. We'll pool our money and our resources. We'll you know, adopt a little girl for a couple years. And then when she's just about ripe, we'll move to a remote location together. And we'll do it in such a way, you know, that it's, no one will know any different. And you consider the things that can be done. So, well, it's pretty far-fetched. It's like, well, not really. I know, I've been told people sometimes that I scare them because I think the way a criminal does. And I guess that's true. I see very far. I'm very circumspect. I see deeply into the deep, wicked hearts of men. You know why? Because I have a deeply corrupt and wicked heart myself. It's probably why it's so much work for God to purify my heart. But I'm not a proud man. It doesn't pay me to admit that. I don't care. I don't care what you think of me. Because it's not about me. It's about the truth. Is this what it's supposed to be in the gospel? Is this the glorious gospel? The gospel of glory? The glory which shall be the partaking of the divine nature. The glory which God wants to give to his sons. Verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, I thank God. You know, Paul's very thankful. Could you consider? Think about this. Jesus was forgiving all these. And who was he condemning most in his ministry? The religious hypocrites. In which Paul was, I don't know how big of a hypocrite he was. He was very sincere and zealous in his faith. But he did things which were wicked, ignorantly, and unbelieving concerning the cross of Christ. You know? I don't know that he was necessarily uncompassionate or a lot of the things that he, you know, that. But he definitely was zealous of that religion and found himself a blasphemer and persecutor and injurious to the work of God, to the God who he wanted to serve, whom he thought he was serving. Jesus said, "Time's going to come when whosoever kills you will think they're doing God's service." John chapter 16. A lot of times I just know the chapter. And personally, I think that's good enough. If you can look it up and find it yourself. If you really don't, if you really doubt my quotations. Most people who are in the Word would know without me even referencing it. I just do it for the sake of those who are less knowledgeable. And it gives you a point at which to kind of start searching. It never hurts you to read the whole chapter, does it? Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. You know what, though? I should say, he did it ignorantly and unbelief, and he obtained mercy. There are others who do things ignorantly and in unbelief who will not obtain mercy. That's why Jesus said of those who crucified, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do. I know I've known people who believe in the restitution of all things who think that, that's going to be fulfilled. And that's whatever. They can. There's causes for not believing that, especially things written in Peter, which we'll get to in time. But that's not so. There are vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy. And God shows mercy on one, on the other. You know, that's why Paul says, Paul is qualified to teach that because he knows. He differed. There were probably people who differed nothing from him. The book of, even in the prophets, this is witnessed. What I'm saying is Ezekiel chapter 14. I don't know the exact verse, but it won't take me long to find it. Let's see. Verse 9 of Ezekiel 14. And if the prophet be deceived when he had spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. And I will stretch my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall even be as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. The Lord allows people to dwell in ignorance. He suffers them to be deceived. It even says, because they received not the love of the truth, God sent them a strong delusion. God sends the delusion that they should believe a lie. God sends delusions. He withholds wisdom, as it says in the book of Corinthians, that we speak the wisdom of God, which is hidden in a mystery.